know, just like I said, we're going to keep on doing that. Little bam, bam, bam. Good morning. It's the GloucesterCast. It's September 27th, 2015. GloucesterCast 152. I am joined by the lovely Kim Smith.
Good morning, Gloucester.
David Emch.
Good morning.
And also Mr. Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And we should, well, everybody knows Toby and everybody knows Kim, but David, is Emch or Emch?
Emch.
Emch.
Nobody gave me a choice in the name.
No.
They just informed me this is your name.
I imagine in school, like when school, like, if, you know, middle school and everything, when the first day of school and the teacher says your name out loud, they probably butchered it, like they butchered Shimitaro.
Yeah, and all the kids would tease me, call me Stench.
So for
a long time, I was always concerned that I stunk.
There you go. Well, that probably made you like extra conscious of hygienic, right?
Yeah.
David, you have a website, captureamerica.co.com. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this? It's been 2 years you've been doing this now?
Yes, November it'll be 2 years that I've been on the road. The short story is that I'm traveling the perimeter of the United States on the first project is a 7-year project. Every 40 miles, I spend 7 to 10 days and write several articles. Each article incorporates 30 to 40 photos and whatever interesting subject matter I find in that place. I'm going to return and do the entire perimeter a second time and over an 18-month span by bicycle. That effort, that 18-month span, that will be a fundraiser to build a neurology research hospital in Charleston, South Carolina.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in Central Ohio.
And what's the South Carolina, what is that tie-in? Like, why there?
In 2000, I moved to South Carolina, to Charleston. And, my kids are all raised, you know, but the tail end of raising my children was in the Carolinas. Just got sick of the winters.
Yeah. I hear you. So you're traveling around, you're doing these two or three stories every 40 miles. How do you get the inspiration to say this is going to be a story?
There's a lot of little things that I've learned along the way. I've gotten better as I go. But one thing I love to do is find the little breakfast joints where all the locals hang out.
Have you been to one in Gloucester yet? Because we have a couple of, there's
we
a couple
really
of,
good.
Yeah.
This
is one of those towns. Oh, so you were in Portland, right?
Yes.
I imagine Portland, because they have a fishing community. Did they have a lot of breakfast, cool breakfast, little hometown breakfast joints?
Yeah, there's one little spot down on the water. But when I came into Portland, somebody gave me a place to stay for a couple days, so I had a place to write my previous articles. But what I'll do is I'll sit in the corner in these places with my computer, sitting editing photos, and I disappear into the background, and you hear a lot of funny stuff.
Yeah. I'd say number one place for hearing funny like Gloucester character stuff, I would say Fort Square Cafe. Fort Square Cafe. You gotta write that
down.
You gotta write that down. And I don't think any place is even close for characters. Rusty Shatford.
That's because Rusty's behind the counter.
Not just Rusty, though, because the fishermen that go in there,
really?
And the dock workers, and the hotel construction's right there. There's a lot of contrast between like downtown Gloucester and the new hotel being built, and you know, industrial waterfront. What do we call that? Not irony.
There's a dichotomy.
There's all kinds of things happening there. And you know, this town was known as a fishing town forever and ever and ever, and like huge majority of the people that were here were closely either directly working in the fishing industry or directly related to someone that worked in the fishing industry. And now, like, there's an inverse of that. Like, the fishing industry has been so hyper consolidated to try to save fish that you know, now we're trying to find a new identity. Well, the identity is still there, but to try to diversify in a meaningful way. So there's a lot of people that
really good.
Well, there's a lot of people that want are holding on to the past. And you hear these stories about the mining towns. You hear about the Pittsburgh and the steel industry, and you know, they held on for so long that. You know,
it takes
behind
even
the times
that longer to recover.
To recover,
we've
yeah.
got a lot of fabulous breakfast joints. I mean, this one has to do to a great extent with its location, because it's literally across the street from the wharves. It has more of the conversation taking place with people who are fishermen or somehow involved in the industry.
Yeah, there's no escape in the conversation there, because the woman that's cooking is 10 feet from you, Heidi, and Rusty's the main ringmaster, Rusty is 10 feet away from you, and all the tables, it's not a big room, so you hear everybody's conversation pretty much.
But like I said, we have fabulous, we're blessed here in Gloucester with a lot of really good...
Yeah, we got there's 15 breakfast places that towns that are, four or five times larger than this town don't have one. Our bottom, the bottom 10th one out of 1 to 10, they don't have as good as our 10th one.
There's one real close to the dock here that they bake all the breads. It's not just, using quality.
Zeke's is unbelievable. I can't believe that place.
Zeke's is just kitty corner from here.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Across the street.
But they bake their own breads.
But you're not going to get that. The way it's set up, there's different rooms.
Right.
And I don't think, for his purpose of listening to and picking up is the point.
Fort Squared, you can't escape it. There's no place to hide in that place.
Yeah.
Everyone's on top of each other.
There's other unbelievable breakfast places. But George's
Coffee.
But George's now, the new setup wouldn't be as... Conducive to listening in on other people's conversations. Or being part of, the whole place at the Fort Square Cafe is one big conversation.
Right.
Everybody's shouting over each other's tables.
But other reason to go to a breakfast joint is because of the quality of the breakfast.
And Heidi's a scratch kitchen, too. You know?
Yeah.
So.
And George's is fabulous also, right?
So we got that going on. We totally just derailed the whole mission after 7 minutes. We're 7 minutes in, I think he said two words.
Okay, well, can I ask a question? Because
sure.
I missed this, that your next part is going to be by bicycle, but I didn't hear how you're traveling this trip. Is this by boat?
No, I have a Dodge Caravan, and I take jobs on the road, so the floor is lined with bins. I have carpentry tools, auto repair tools, office equipment, camping gear, all that sort of stuff. And then I stock provisions. On top of that, I have plywood, a bed's half of it, laundry's the other half, and electronics on the front seat.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So there's not much. There's no space for nostalgic things.
Have you done a blog post of your setup?
Just in passing. This is really not about me. The people that follow me. It's about people, and I try hard to bring out an area's geography, history, current events through people themselves. Mm. People want to know about other people, so I really try to stay in the background. Sometimes that's hard because I'll have a dog in the hunt on a certain topic, and I'll have to wait a day to get myself in the mindset to write and not interject my own attitudes and opinions, and I'm sure some of it creeps through. But in addition to the regular website, there's a second website that's hidden. And I write spiritual reflections, and what that includes is what I see as the meaning in things that take place. So the people that really follow me see the spiritual reflections, and that's where I really hold a mirror up from how I see things. The reason I keep that separate and hidden is there's a lot of hits on the main articles, and not everybody needs that mirror held up. So they go and they see the blog, and it's a beautiful blog. Now, it's not that I talk negative about anyone in the spiritual reflections, but it's more about life and how the most effective ways to interact as a human being and that type of thing. I avoid negatives. I stay in the positives.
Well, I tell you, I read a couple of his posts that had to do with addictions, some opiate addictions and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Really well written.
Very forward to reading.
Non-judgmental, really, and just kind of factual, talking about how these. There's trends, and most of these people, how this happens to these people, how they get into these situations, and empathy, stuff like that, and really, really good. So that's why I invited
good
him to be part of this. I know you guys didn't know he was going to be here.
But I'm looking forward to reading it. It's very timely right now for what's going on with our own police chief.
Yeah,
and
you've spoken with Chief Campanello.
I spoke with the deputy chief of McCarthy.
John McCarthy.
And he gave me the name of a PR firm. I contacted them twice and haven't heard back. I'm just finishing a series back from Portsmouth on pottery making. But I'll tell you, it's So you asked me how I find topics. When I arrived in Rockland, in Maine, there was an article in the paper that they'd had 9 overdoses in one day, 2 of them fatal.
Wow.
And
that's
one,
Rockland, Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
One was a guy in a suit in a law firm bathroom, and another one's a guy in a subway bathroom.
You know, say that again.
One was a guy in a $1,000 suit in a law firm bathroom, and another one's a homeless guy in a subway bathroom.
Yeah.
And so I got a hold of paramedics. I got a hold of people that work in detoxes. Got a hold of people in the police department, rehabs. I got into some halfway houses, and I spent 7-8 days. I spent some time with people who had lost children to this thing. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there's one thing I have found is the more I learn, the more I realize I really don't know anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I go into a lot of these things with my own attitudes and opinions and find out I've always been wrong.
Yeah.
When I actually get there. So for me, it's a marvelous thing. I get to learn all this stuff, and it's not like being in a classroom where somebody's teaching at me. It's hands-on with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, a lot of the... Yeah, we live in this town, and there's pockets of drug. I think every town has pockets of drug use. You know, and, just last week there was in Manchester, New Hampshire, a couple of days ago. They had 6 in. I don't know if it was 6 in 6 hours. It was some crazy number of overdoses and. And like what you were talking about, like a lot of these things, the way this addiction happens is they start out taking pills, that are in the medicine cabinets,
right.
And then, you know, this is okay. It's just a pill.
Right.
It's manufactured by the, you know,
right.
And then they need they're just chasing that. You know, they need more and more and more, and then. It gets too expensive, and then there's always the heroin, which is so cheap, and that's.
And
that's how it ends up.
And I feel like the drug companies have a tremendous role in this. That I'll give you just an example of I had to see a specialist at Mass General, and you know when you fill out those doctor forms, there used to be 3 lines for prescription drugs, and I never I don't take any prescription medication. Now there's 10 or 12 lines. It takes up the whole sheet of where you
list. For what? Of what you might take, you know?
What prescription drugs you're taking.
Oh,
not
a lot of psychotic drugs.
Not 1 or 2 or 3. Now there's a spot where you can, with 10, you know, with a dozen lines.
Over-prescribing.
Right, over-prescribing. And I don't know, I just think it's we live in this world of...
I don't like those. When you have something, you need to take pain medication,
right.
And they try to give you Vicodin or something like that.
I don't take it.
I'm like, do I have to have that? Because it makes me feel gross.
Right.
I'm like, can you give me some heavy-duty aspirin?
Right. I know. I'm the same
you know?
Way.
But,
I'm the same
know.
Way.
But, yeah. But, you mentioned they wanted to give me Vicodin, but I said, can I get something else? So I didn't get the Vicodin. And then you say that to people, and they're like, are you kidding me? You didn't take them? I'm
right.
What do you mean? I feel gross when I take those things.
Right.
So, I don't know. But we shouldn't just...
Dwell.
Well, I want to make one more point about this. And drug companies and stuff. The chief now, his latest thing, Chief Campanello, is going after I think this is brilliant. He's going after the drug companies. And now these drug companies have... They're not multi-million dollar companies.
Right,
they're multi-billions.
Right.
So they have so much money to throw around to make sure that they don't look bad.
Right.
So I think this is so brilliant of him because he's putting them on the spot. And basically what, in my opinion, is you got a choice here.
Right.
You can throw some money at us and help our program out. Oh, we're going to make you look really bad.
Right.
So take your pick.
Great.
You know,
it's awesome that he called them out.
I think it's pretty cool,
really
too.
Awesome
so I don't know if you're familiar with the latest thing that he has.
My understanding was that he gave names and phone numbers and email addresses and asked citizens to approach him in a responsible manner, which I thought was really high class. That's one of the things I wanted to talk to him about because the guy gets it.
Oh, he does.
I didn't realize that once you take this stuff, the recovery rate for an opopiate addict is 1% at 5 years. 99% of people are not going to recover. They're going to die from this. What I'm hearing from the treatment people is we had a similar situation after the Civil War with all the morphine. So they cut off the supply and let that whole group of people die off. Now, we're a little more humane today, but when you start throwing money at these expensive treatment centers and you've got a 1% recovery rate, that's not very effective use of money. We, you know, maybe we could get up the recovery rate up to 5 or 10% if we really understand that peer groups work best, not clinical hospital approaches. And authority never seems to work. You know, it's always a peer-based because...
Treating it like a disease. Well, his thing is treating it like a disease instead of a crime.
Right. And also, you know, it's partly the drug company's responsibility, too. Like, I read that they're developing new drugs where, like, if you've had surgery, you can inject pain medication in just that area. So it's not like you never take...
Doesn't get to your brain,
right,
maybe.
You're never taking an oral treatment like that. So, I don't know. I think that's kind of... genius to do that.
This stuff is scary. I read one article in the pursuit of this, and it's about a drug called fentanyl that they have, and they say that if a person takes fentanyl and has a supply, their life expectancy is 3 weeks.
Wow.
This stuff is so addictive, and they keep coming with more and more powerful drugs, and they, like you said, they end up in all these medicine cabinets everywhere. Who's responsible for that?
Cutting the heroin with fentanyl. That's where a lot of these deaths
are happening.
It's all bananas. I mean, it's all...
Well, the CDC says 80% of the deaths are people that have never used heroin. 80% are just from pharmaceutical opiates of the overdose deaths. So we hear in the media all the time, heroin, heroin, heroin. That's only 20% of the issue.
Wow.
And that's what's so refreshing is to see this chief get it. Now, understand this is just one story of many I've done, but it's kind of fresh on my mind. And here, somebody's doing something positive about it, and somebody gets it. You know, you've got to find a solution. One of the real encouraging things I saw here just recently is at a state level, Massachusetts, I guess just 2 days ago, changed legislation for reinstatement of driver's licenses, or because somebody has drugs or is caught with drugs, they were suspending their driver's licenses, and then those few people that do want to get clean, they've got no way to support themselves, and it's just not realistic. But now they're waiving that, and I guess it was 100% vote. So it's good for me to see that now.
Common sense approaches?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you take the driver's licenses away and don't give them back, it's like you're giving hope, you're taking hope away.
Right.
Like, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to, you know, it's just one more reason to, like, give up.
And they had a $500 fine attached to it too, or some $500 fee to, and who has that when they're just recovering like
so
that?
So I want to say, this is what I want to say though, we're going to wrap this segment up a little bit.
Okay.
David, we're talking mostly about this subject about opiate addiction and stuff like that, but his website and his work that he's doing, is there's a far greater scope than just that. I don't want to pigeonhole him into this just speaking about
story,
that,
right?
This one story, because there's a lot of inspiring stories that he's talking about. So to go to his website, CaptureAmerica.co, C-O, not .com,
okay.
.co,
right.
You can, and his writing is great, his photography is fantastic.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, we'll highlight it on, we'll do a separate post.
Okay.
We'll do the podcast, we'll link to it in the podcast notes, and then we'll do a separate post about it.
Okay, awesome.
So there you go. Thank you,
awesome.
Dave. Thanks for joining us. You can hang out, we've got a few topics, but I'd love to have you sit in. So I want to speak, okay, so next topic, we're going to talk about, I want to thank personally James and Anna Eves from Cape Ann G. Clay. They helped me hang my show at Seaport Grill. I want to thank Sherry at Seaport Grill for having my work on the wall. They have the big wall there.
Yeah, it looks great.
Large format.
I saw Paul Frontiero snapshot.
Yeah, I can't escape
family.
Joey.
I know, but it was funny. But it was great to see the, you know, it looked great. It looked awesome. They're big and they took up the space.
They were huge. They would overwhelm a lot of other spaces, but they're
perfect. For everyone's purchase. They're perfect for everyone's purchase.
<That's> right. Everybody has a nice empty wall they can put one on.
Yeah. Yeah. Toby's right, though. But they're really large because we wanted to show off these
what
images.
What is the size? What is the size?
36 by 36.
36. Okay.
When they said that to me, I was going like this. I'm like, oh, they're not that big, but they're actually like this
by big.
This, and they're really big.
Square format, yeah.
Square format, and
nice.
All. and they're all kind of industrial feel, and there's clouds in them, and very dramatic. And we chose them for, you know, for that reason, because for her space, because she, you know, she had to, it was kind of a statement saying, here, you got this beautiful space serving beautiful food
right
alongside
here,
in the working waterfront, industrial waterfront, and so, and it all works.
Yeah.
So the point, but also the point is, and there's cards there, that if anybody wanted different sizes or less expensive or different sizes,
right, smaller size.
You can go right to Cape Ann G. Clay's website and you can order them in canvases, prints,
the whole thing,
metal, whatever you'd like to do. There's different price points and stuff
like
that.
That's great.
But James and Anna, I can't give them enough thanks because, you know, hanging it, measuring it out. You know, James did it, and I was the helper guy, like handing him the hammer and the level and stuff like that. He did all the heavy lifting. But he did it. He hung it in an hour. And,
that's fast.
And I would have never been able to, like, the math.
You've been there all day.
I've been all day because, you know, like, you know,
it's
just a nightmare. But you know, James and Anna, they make, for an artist or photographer, you know, reproductive services, they're soup to nuts.
Yeah.
And they
make it so easy.
They make it so easy. Yeah. And
convenient, and like if you're, you know, a lot of us have other jobs, and you know, they just make it really easy.
Using their services, whether it's just to get the copy of it, if you're going to hang it yourself, or to be a part of it, you know, they represent me kind of like, you know, and they take their cut or whatever. Like I'm not selling anything myself. It's going to go through them because they've been so good to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
20 Maplewood Ave.
for those of you, for those Google challenged of you,
don't start that. Oh my god!
Oh, I know. Do you have people that David? You have your website. Do you have people that like, oh, because it's not on the front page of your thing there, but they heard about a story that you had done and say, oh, it's not on your blog anymore. Because it's not on the front page, and you have to explain to them. You just do a search on that topic, and
right,
find it
all the time. And you put search by keyword, and you put archive right up where everybody can see it.
It's the bane of my existence.
That's
like
why
explaining.
We
to, yeah, it's like, you know, I do a yearly rant about people that refuse to use the search engine.
And a couple times a year, you do a let me Google that for you.
Yes, let me Google that for you. Yes, and then I get the inevitably I get the you're an asshole because you point this out and you know you think you're smarter than us. I'm like, no, I just want you to use fucking Google. So yeah, there's that, and so we did the election.
The election
preliminary.
It's not awesome.
Now here's a question. I always thought it was the primary. It's listed on the City of Gloucester website as the preliminary election.
Right. Let me Google that for you. I don't understand why I haven't had a chance to Google it either. I don't understand why they're calling it primary instead of preliminary either.
No, they're calling it preliminary.
Right, but why don't they just call it primary?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is.
Yes,
who knows? It must be politically correct, you know.
Yeah. It's terminology, so.
Political correct. there's that. But we did the poll, and the results. Oh, it'll be interesting to see how closely the results follow the poll results follow the actual results.
Right, the poll that you put up the first couple of days of the poll.
Some people have greater Facebook followers
Facebook
stuff like that.
Right,
so it'll be very interesting to see who goes forward. There's so many. I don't want to talk about the specific subplots, but I just want to say there's so many. Like theory, like Toby and I, sit in the office down here at the dock, and we just hypothesize about different scenarios, and is this a factor or is that a factor, and if that happens, does that person get bumped out?
I need to be a fly on the wall for that conversation.
Well,
they're not going to show up on the blog because, as you know, we don't do that. But
we're not talking.
You know, when we're not recording, Kim, we can talk to you or include you in the discussion.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, also I'm going to put a post up, for people to pledge to, that people want to pledge that they're definitely going to vote. And I think it's important.
Oh, that's a great idea, just to say,
I'm definitely voting.
Right. Right, because people get so busy that, you know, on Tuesday, you know, I hear all these excuses.
People need to
vote. Well, they think that their candidate is either out or it's going to lead the, you know, and therefore don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I am pledging 100%. And this is what I want to say to people, because I don't think a lot of people know this. Did you know that politicians have access to not who you vote for, but if you voted or not?
Really?
Yes. They can buy these lists of who actually voted or didn't vote.
Not so, who said they were going to vote,
who actually voted.
So, because they have those lists when you go to place your vote, they check off those lists. So they're selling those lists. That's weird.
Those, I don't know if you can buy. I don't know how they get them. If it's actually they're paying for them or they just have access to them. But you are counted as if you showed up and voted or not. So hold on, let me make this point, because this is a very important point. So, I'm not going to say what politician said this to me, but politicians have told me that when they are campaigning and when they are reaching out to people and who they're listening to are based on their who voted in the past. So if you don't vote, they don't give a shit about you.
Really?
That's no one's going to say that publicly. No politician's going to say that.
Right.
But
if the focus is to get elected, you've got to jump over that hurdle first. Right. So they're focusing their efforts on the people that they know
consistently vote.
Right.
And that is why it's so important to vote.
Really?
Because your vote counts. And then they're like, I got to pay attention to this person.
Right,
and I got to, like, you know,
it counts on many levels, is what you're saying. It doesn't just count for who wins, it counts on many levels across the board.
Like, if you want them to listen to what you have to say, and they know, if they know you don't vote, they don't give a shit about. Well, I mean,
Well,
they supposedly do,
but really,
that's why I say it's so important for you to vote.
If they want to get elected, the first task that they have, is to get elected. I mean,
and to read that list.
If they know that these people vote, they're going to focus their efforts on those people. Getting elected is the key.
Right. Interesting.
So there you go.
Well, I always vote, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't impact you, but for other people.
Right.
Yeah, on a local level.
Maybe that's why we're always, maybe that's why we get every pollster in America calling.
And that's why I guarantee you that, you know, if the thing is that they buy less, and then they say, let's focus on these people because they are going to vote. So there's that. Now, the second part of that is, so that's why I want to do this pledge to, I'm going to explain that in the post. This is the pledge to post, because I want people to say, good morning, Gloucester's a force.
Right, and also if we could raise our, you know, percentage of people who vote, that's very impactful too, I think, just overall.
I agree. So.
Well, there you go.
Kim, you have one of the more interesting posts of the week with your luminescent salps.
Yes, I'm not sure if they're actually bioluminescent, because I think that's a structural form of color, but because there are these big, beautiful boats parked at Rocky Neck that they were parked back to back, so end to end, so one has these beautiful green luminous lights and one has these beautiful blue lights, it was attracting all kinds of fish, so not just salps and other creatures, but smelts, minnows, and striped bass. So I would be like, I'm hanging over the edge of the dock filming, and giant striped bass are leaping out of the water.
Pause.
And then pause. I'm just going to sit here now from now on.
You have no messages in your mailbox. Main menu.
Why isn't it pausing, do you think? Look.
I don't know.
Just don't say anything. Shoot. I don't know why it's not pausing. Time to pause. It's not. Look.
Watch out. Just get.
Okay. It doesn't have the little record button.
All right, for those of you that we're going to explain what just happened, the confusion. So we're down on the dock right now, so I have a business to run. So as soon as someone shows up, like someone just finishes their thought, like, you know, probably 5 seconds, and I slide the pause button, and I go do whatever work needs to be done.
Right.
The work comes first. And then Kim is supposed to man the iPad
right.
so that it doesn't go into a sleep mode and then we lose whatever we recorded. And she panicked and she did. She fell asleep at the wheel and she didn't keep the iPad awake
alive,
by pressing you know a button to,
right.
which is not a huge deal.
So there might be some weird.
Which is funny.
Weird.
It's kind of, I'm dying to listen to it now. Like I'm dying to hear the panic in your voice while I was downstairs attending to my fisherman.
I don't want you to hear that.
I can't wait. I think it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anybody burping and farting in the background?
No one thought that.
Yeah.
No.
So let's get back to the saps.
Okay. So, like I was saying, the blue lights were attracting a lot of fish, especially very large striped bass, and mm-hmm. you could see them leaping out of the water and down below. But anyway, so everybody loved this little 15-second Instagram video
that
they put up, and they were like, "Oh, we want to see more of this." So I went back and filmed a longer little sequence.
Was it following night?
Yeah, the following night.
Cool.
It was still there with my with my real camera, and
you're gonna post that tonight?
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, I'm excited.
Very exciting.
Because I found this really pretty song that I've been wanting to use for a project for a while, "La Luna" by Lucy Schwartz. So.
Did you do another post about it, or did EJ?
EJ did. Well, last year there was a nice big article about it in the Gloucester Daily Times, so that was very interesting. And then EJ,
did you see the image that she used? It looked like the Thetis vagina that I had posted.
That you
know,
posted.
It's like it looks like you know, like this big, and then it has the little the brain.
Well actually, they're this big. Salps.
I know what a salp is, but the picture that she
posted
looked like
really
a Thetis vagina, which is more like the size of a beer can.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that. How
and I wonder if the salps and the Thetis vagina.
Well,
are
I wonder if they're
related.
They're both members of the tunicate family. That would be interesting to look that up. So yeah, very interesting.
Did you see the Thetis vagina?
Yeah, but it was a while ago, and I didn't look.
Transparent, and then there's like a round thing, and when you look at it really closely, it looks like a brain.
Okay, well, it could be, you know, I don't know, I have to look it up, but it could be that, salps are more closely related to humans and to fish than they are to jellyfish, because that gelatinous outer tunic is really just like an exoskeleton. It's not so they're more highly evolved than jellyfish. They have a beating heart, pre-human type of cord, and they have gills. So they're more closely related to humans and to fish than they are to jellyfish, evolutionarily speaking. So they're really very, very interesting creatures, and not a whole lot is known about them. So more and more is being discovered all the time.
Well, we get them in the tanks. They grow on the inside of the tanks, and we have to scrape them. They're a pain in the ass. And also the lobstermen, they grow. They attach themselves to the wire on the lobster traps.
Oh,
and when they grow in blooms.
Yes, because
you know, like barnacles. You get a bloom of barnacles, then you get a bloom of salps.
Well,
and when they come, that what happens is they grow so quickly that they make the traps. Like a trap that should be 35 pounds,
really?
75 pounds.
Okay, well, let me tell you why they grow so quickly. Because they're following the algae blooms. So the end, so when there's a lot of algae and they are following it by wind currents, they can reproduce sexually and asexually. So how they reproduce asexually is they clone themselves. So when there's a big algae bloom, then they go crazy cloning themselves. And that's what those long like chains are that you see. Those, so they can either be little individual creatures or they'll join together. But they're actually very good for the environment because all the waste that they produce sinks to the bottom of the ocean floor, and it's helping to mitigate the problems of global warming. So they're actually very interesting creatures. So, but that's very interesting about how they make the traps much heavier because they're so, you know, there's so many.
The fishermen
many
call
them
monkey balls.
Monkey balls.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
put a link to that on the I'll put a link to that on the post that I'm putting up today.
A link to what?
Monkey Balls. There must be something about Monkey Balls.
If you look on the blog, yeah. I think yeah. I've done a couple of posts on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Toby saw Black Mass last week. He loved it.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best movies of the year, no doubt.
No doubt in his mind. And
hopefully we're going this week. We haven't seen it. No.
I haven't gone. I was supposed to go this past yesterday. I couldn't get there. But
Tom read the book and he loved the book.
I loved the book. It was one of my favorite books.
Multiple strong performances by various actors, not
and
just lead.
The point. So we talked about this last week, but yeah. the point that I'm going to get to is that it's getting mixed reviews, and I think the mixed reviews seem to be coming from a point. Why don't you talk about this, Toby? Because you brought it up. You listened to it. You saw a review by a guy took issue with how Johnny Depp tried to portray him.
John Keller.
Yeah, John Keller. I thought his comments were very gratuitous, frankly, about the whole thing, because he was saying Johnny Depp made a comment during the time of the premiere, saying that he thought that the film, that Whitey Bulger wasn't pure evil, that there's nobody on earth who's really pure evil. They have families, they come from, they have a life, you know, and John, is it Keller? Commentator. And I love CBS, but I really just was really annoyed at his comment, because he was saying that to ban the film, that based on that one comment by Johnny Depp, and that how could Johnny Depp not be empathetic to the families who lost loved ones, and
you know, the people that call for banning stuff on the internet and online and stuff, it's just fucking shits of people, because. People can have opinions. Art is supposed to be able to, you know, go in different directions. The whole idea of the United States of America is to avoid persecution for your thoughts and stuff like that. These people that have bully pulpits,
which he does,
you know, and then what they do is they try to coerce.
Yeah.
Studios to not make these, a movie, or to punish them for these types of things, and it's bullshit.
Right.
I listened to a show on WBUR this week where they had one of the authors of the book, and he praised the director of the film, saying how true to the book it was. And that their book was based upon research. He was a writer for the Globe, and that he had the book was based upon his research.
Right,
and he praised the director of the movie on keeping it true to the book. So,
why doesn't John Keller ban the FBI? You know what I mean? That's the whole point. It's ridiculous.
The other part is, I kind of agree with Johnny Depp on that whole his statement.
Yeah, I do too.
Every person has multiple layers. No one is sin free.
Right.
No one is sin free. Right now we're recording. All right, so I'm looking forward to this. So I just stepped away because we had the Jupiter 2 pulled in and work comes first. So I had to pause it again. I stepped it away, and I am so looking forward to the comedy of you guys trying to hit the pause button while I was gone. You could not pause it, and then
one of us hit the microphone button.
I have to go and edit it now. Which
the answer is hit record first. And then after it, even for a second, then hit the pause.
Yeah, the people don't need to
understand. Right, okay.
We don't need to take the time.
We're going to have a review of this again.
Yeah, not a problem. But I'm looking forward to the comedy.
Kim and I are going to detention.
And now we are going to be more comedic from now on when we have a problem.
Yes, I just want you guys to laugh. And everybody else. Oh, great. We get to try this again.
Yes, here we go again.
So Marty and Donna are covering the Grand Prix of Gloucester. And which is one of these events that comes every year, and I have a hard time. I shouldn't have a hard time, but when you cover something year after year after year after year, you're just like, we've done it So I have to. You have to just kind of.
You have to get energized.
You have to get energized to cover it. Right. Thankfully, Marty. We have so many contributors that can go and look at these things with fresh eyes and stuff like that.
I think Marty put up a video a couple days ago.
Marty did a great video.
Great video.
Donna's a marshal. She's a marshal, volunteering.
Right. Right. So that's awesome. And she put up a lot of photos too, I think. Yeah. And more photos will be coming, I'm sure. A lot more.
And I'm sure that this cool but sunny weather that we've been having is ideal.
Right, you're right.
You know, the only thing that's not ideal about cool and dry is the dust. It gets very dusty. Visually, it's really cool.
Right. And we are having an incredibly dry year, so yeah.
And we should definitely mention how much money these type of events bring to the city.
Yeah.
We don't know every penny, but guaranteed, I know for a fact that the motels have been sold out. You know that they have to be.
Well, why don't you explain the story that your friend that you.
Okay,
know.
I have come to know this gentleman who's leading a construction project around here. He is from upstate New York. He's a very interesting guy. I've enjoyed talking with him and getting to know. I took him to the airport the other day because he wanted to go back and see his family. And he had to ask me. He says, is there something going on with bicycles? because every...
He's staying at a hotel. And
the entire parking lot was just jammed with all these cars that
had
bike racks and bikes in it.
Wow.
And he was just... He didn't understand what was going on.
That's awesome.
That's money. Over the course of a weekend, people coming here, going on to local restaurants, spending money downtown, and anything else.
So tremendous.
Kudos to those people. Yeah. Kudos to the awesome city council that recognizes this and encourages them to come here because they're very welcoming in this city.
Right.
And we love that. So it's wonderful. Awesome job, Donna and Marty, for covering that.
Could I just say one little shout out to Marty for Marty is selling his XE1 camera, and he put a post up about it on the blog. And
that's Olympus?
Fujifilm. So, and my camera's on the Fritz at the shop, and Marty very, 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 very nicely lent me his camera body. So thank you, Marty.
Now, do you shoot Fuji or Olympus? Fuji or Olympus?
Fuji.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
oh,
Fuji.
Okay.
Yeah, I love my Fujifilm camera.
Now, is that Micro Four Thirds?
No. It's, so you have a...
ACPS?
CMOS sensor. It's an APCS CMOS sensor.
Yeah, okay. It's the level below, level below full frame.
Right. It goes full frame, then APS CMOS, and then Micro Four Thirds, right?
Right.
I
and
think
then,
it goes in that level.
Then,
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't get too technical.
We won't get too camera-y.
this guy Anthony Farinwald. They always say Craig is the most talented filmmaker. This Anthony Farinwald is every bit as good as Craig. This guy is amazing. He did a great documentary called Beyond the Breakwater about the fishing industry and how hyper consolidated it is, and who's to blame. And he interviewed fishermen, and he interviewed like a guy from NOAA, like one of the guys that makes decisions on how they're gonna regulate. I thought every part of it was awesome.
It was beautiful.
Except for the part where they blame, like the people that blame NOAA for this. Like for mismanagement of science. Like I think, I think a big part of the problem is not just NOAA. I think it was that we
overfished. Right.
I think that the horsepower and the technology and the radars and the sonars and being able to extract fish out of the ocean, there was too much effort all at once, and I'm not calling the fishermen bad people because the fishermen are the salt of the earth, but when this all was going down, it happened so fast, and we were trained to kill fish, bring fish to market, and to celebrate how good a fisherman you were by pounds of fish that came over the dock. That was ingrained in everybody.
Right.
Now, the same people that are saying it's Noah's fault really rallied against every single measure of what NOAA tried to do to reduce the effort. They needed to reduce the effort. There's no question about that. It's just...
Another component was the Marshall Plan, where after the war, we basically had to feed Europe. We had to help. And part of it was that a lot of the fish that were being harvested were headed in that direction. So it was like, it was the Marshall Plan. As I said, you can look it up. And we were helping to feed the world.
Right. And they also had, by 100 years ago, they had totally overfished the waters all around Great Britain and all over Europe. So
I think it's easy to point the finger at NOAA, but I don't agree.
It's a confluence of events.
The industry had to be consolidated. Right. They could not have this concerted effort with that many boats. There was going to have to be effort taken away.
Yeah.
No question.
It is a
beautiful story, and it is a visually beautifully filmed. Yeah.
Right. I only saw the first 9 minutes, and then I had to go do something. So I haven't seen the NOAA part. So the first 9 minutes is beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful,
and I don't think he didn't pass judgment on, in the thing. He didn't pass judgment.
He's just letting people tell their
stories. The NOAA guy told their story. Right. He didn't go out of his way to make this guy look like an asshole. Right. The fishermen told their story, and they were great stories, beautiful families, hardworking, passionate people. Kudos to them. I just take issue with, it's all their NOAA's fault. No, I'm not saying it. I'm looking forward to
seeing the second half of the film. It really,
So there we go. We got a couple of restaurants that have Groupons going on right now. 50% off.
Oh, okay.
Lobster Pool has 50% off all seafood and drinks. Hmm. Alchemy and Calla's both have 47% off food. I don't think that.
What's that? 47% off.
I don't know how where they come up with 47% either. But those are kind of no brainer deals. Right.
And also, what about the Rudder and the Studio? I know they're having.
Oh, is that midweek or is that all week half price?
Well, for example, the Rudder was half price Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. So, but then they're closed during the week. So.
Yeah. You got to go to those places. Yeah. You got to take advantage of those deals.
The Studio, too, is half off. I'm not sure which nights, though. So, yeah. But it's still beautiful because you're still dining al fresco out on the dock there. Beautiful.
Yeah. Bill Cox just showed up. The legendary Bill Cox. And he is involved with the Phyllis A. What's going on with the Phyllis A today?
Today, not too much. They were out there yesterday. We were putting up the tarp to go over it. Try to keep out some of the fresh water, so kind of reduces the damage a little bit to it, and then so we can work on it through the winter, keep the snow off of it too.
There you go.
Very cool. The snow's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Have you heard that we're having a lot of snow?
Have some family in town?
Yeah, actually, my sister and my nephew are here, and came here a couple years ago when Joe, when he was a little smaller, and one of the crabs jumped out of the bucket. And
jumped.
You fell on the bucket and
flying crabs. We're flying crabs down here.
Flying crabs. He was so scared. He just. I think I still have indentations on my chest from him grabbing me.
Awesome.
My nephew, not Joey.
A lifelong impression, right?
So he doesn't want to come back in for another experience.
Well, they're out there throwing rocks in the water.
Skimming rocks. Just trying not to.
He's
hit
too young for the skimming. He just likes the splash. All right.
He's a splash stage. So we do one more topic. We're going to talk about you can hang in here, Bill. Tonight is the super blood moon at the same time as a lunar eclipse, which, as Paul Morrison says, it's the next time that'll happen is a couple billion years.
Couple million years from now.
give or take a million.
He said billions.
give or take a billion. So if anybody is keeping track, this is from what he wrote. 6:22 p.m. the moon rises. 8:12 penumbral eclipse begins, which is there's nothing to see. 9:07 partial eclipse begins. 10:11 p.m. full eclipse begins. He says that's when the moon is in complete shadow. 10:47 p.m. maximum eclipse. Demons appear and the world ends. 11:23 p.m. Full eclipse ends. Watch for that first glimmer of light passing over Mount Everest, hitting the moon. I don't know if he's just, I don't know, he's talking out of his ass. And 12:27 a.m., only astronomers and nerds will stay up for this. So there you go. So keep, for all you astronomy buffs, we got that going on. Astronomy buffs would already know about this.
Right, I'm very...
It's for the rest of us.
Well, I loved it, because last night I was trying to take a picture of the moon, and I didn't get out there till like 7:30, so I totally missed all the good shots. So there it is, 6:22, that's the time to be out there, because it's the most beautiful when it's like... rising, you know, through the atmosphere, and it seems the close. It'll be the biggest when it's first rising.
Right at sunset.
Yeah, right at sunset. So I'm going to be out there.
I think we should take a video of me stepping away from the controls and having Kim trying to pause the recording. That would be awesome. That would be great.
She's learned quite a bit. Yeah. I should have learned. More myself.
Right. We should also mention today, Toby brought this up at 1:35 p.m. at the last Red Sox home game.
There's still some other, there's going to be a series against the Yankees and Cleveland Indians, but today will be the last home game for this season.
There you
really?
Go.
Wow.
So I hope everyone will join me with the pledge to vote in the primary and the election. We're going to put the thing on the blog about whoever pledges to vote to get a gold star. We got gold stars. Yes, and I think that's very important.
Yeah.
David Empsch.
Yes.
Thank you for being part of the podcast. I hope you had fun. Did you have fun?
I had a blast. Thanks for having me, and hopefully I can do some good articles on Gloucester.
I hope you can, and go check out his work at captureamerica.co, not co, dot not com. And... what was your favorite part of listening to the podcast? Watching them scramble to try to pause the thing? Was that
absolutely.
Was that amusing?
But your finesse is outstanding. You know?
Trying to please you, Joey. That's
my finesse?
Yeah.
I'm like, finesse of a fucking bulldozer. That's my finesse.
No. Juggling customers, juggling equipment.
That's
all good. For Kim Smith, David Ench, and Toby Pett, have a great day. Another Gloucestercast in the books.
I think I'm going to get back.